For you to win in life, you need faith. And faith comes by hearing God's word. The message you're about to listen to from the senior pastor, Davis Christian Center, Pastor Kingsley Okonkwo, will set you on a course for a life of total victory.
Talking about, or the title of today's teaching is, I love you, but my parents say no. I love you, but my parents say no. It's a very common issue, especially in this part of the world. So if you're not in that situation, you'll probably know someone that is dealing with such a situation. So it's something that will benefit us. Even if you are not right in it, you'll be able to counsel someone in the future. And one day you'll become a parent, so you'll be able to know what God is saying. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. As a foundation, I always like to say that when we address issues concerning marriage here, we use the word of God. Okay? If you understand that it was God that started marriage, then it is Him you will ask whenever there's a question. Tradition did not come before God. It wasn't tradition that started marriage. It wasn't culture that started marriage. It was God that started marriage. Very important. And we must always lay the foundation on the word of God. God's word is our foundation. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 20. If you're there, say amen. If you didn't bring a Bible, just hold on. I'm going to read it. The questions are, should my parents choose a wife for me? Must they agree to who I'm going to marry? If they don't agree, what do I do? First, I would like to say this, that in Africa as a whole, we are like the babies of the world. What do I mean by that? I mean, if you look at the world, Africa is like the baby. It's the one that everybody is pitying. It's the one that when somebody wants to do humanitarian work, when someone wants to go and feed the poor, Africa is where they think of. In fact, in most places, when people mention countries, they can say England or Britain, they can say United States, they will now say Germany, then they now say Africa. They call Africa like a country. Praise God. We are like the babies of the world. Everybody sees us like a baby. Do you know that the average white person that has never been to Africa, he thinks that we still ride donkeys. Genuinely, honestly, he thinks that if you're on the road, you see elephants. And if you notice in some movies, anytime you want to show Africa, they show animals. Have you noticed? They still do it tonight. Some movies, they just show somebody riding elephants. That's what they show. They have that idea of us, and it's not their fault. The truth is that as Africans, we are not growing. That's the honest truth. I don't mean we are not growing economically. No. In our minds, Africans need to grow. We are a bit backward. You see, you might not be able to control economic backwardness, but at least as individuals, you can control mental backwardness. Praise the Lord. How many of you know, because of the backwardness in Africa, most times when we go for international competitions like World Cup, Olympics, what else, under 17. If Nigeria go for under 17, we take 27-year-old. Because in the real sense of things, that is how we are. The people that are 17 in developed nations, their thinking is commensurate to those who are 27 here. Even when we go for things like Big Brother, when we go for other international things, we can't bring our age, oh. Go and investigate it. The average sports person has two passports. He has one that has his real age, then the one he has the one he uses to tell every other person. Because here, when you are, if you are 27, your thinking is still in line with a 17-year-old in other countries. We are backward, friends. We need to do something. That is why, if you notice in Nigeria, the people in government are the same people being cycled. In fact, if you're an old president, you have more chance of winning again. You can come back again 20 years or 30 years down the line because nobody has grown in that 30 years. Hallelujah. And you see, nobody's bothered. It's a normal thing for a president that has ruled 30 years ago, when some of us were not even born, is back again to run afresh again. That means in 30 years, no human being grew. It's a national problem. As Africa, we need to do something. Our problem is not government. If nobody's growing, how can the government grow? It's not people from, you know, human beings that from normal people that become government. It's a national issue. People are not growing. Even look at the normal life. Because we are old school in our thinking. If a guy is 17 years old, he hasn't even entered university, most likely. He's still writing jam. Then he will finally enter school at 23 or 24. He will stay for 5 or 6 years because of strike and other things. He will finish at 29 or 30. So merely finish, he will first reduce his age before he can apply for a job. He's behind. Most people that apply for jobs today, they reduce their ages. Am I saying something, please? Most people applying for jobs today are not applying with their real age. It's just a sign. It's a sign that we are behind. So he finishes school at 32 or 36 and he wants to apply for a job. He puts again 26. Now, but you can see his face is strong. You can say this mustache, this one will be 26 mustache. This mustache, don't say. This beard looking strong. I say he's 26. You can see this pot belly this boy has. First of all, they see him get big belly like this. He's 26. Friends, we are behind. Praise God. So this same person that is 35 or is 29 and is still in school or not finished school or just finished school, he still has the thinking of a child. So he will have a problem making sound decisions for himself. I still hear people quoting things like, you must obey your parents in everything. In fact, I've heard someone say he can't marry someone except his parents agree. That's what we hear in Africa, babies. Exodus chapter 20. This was where they were given the Ten Commandments. Praise God. There are many of them. Where did they start giving it actually? From verse 3. From verse 3 said, thou shall not have any other gods before me. That commandment is still valid. Verse 4 says, thou shalt not make any graven image or any likeness of anything and all that. Don't mold anything. Don't build anything to worship me. That one is still valid. Thou shalt not, say you should not bow down yourself to them and all that. Verse 7. Say, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's still valid. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's still valid. Verse 9. Continue 6 days of labor and all that. And the 7 day thou shalt rest. Go to verse 12. It says, do what? Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord hath given thee. Please hold on. We're going to come back to verse 12. Continue to verse 13. He said, thou shalt what? Not kill. That's still a valid commandment. Verse 15. Thou shalt not what? Thou shalt not steal. Still valid. Say, thou shalt, 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. In other words, all these commandments that are called the Ten Commandments, they are still valid.
even though now it is summarized into walking in love towards one another, but all of them on their own are still valid principles. And amongst them, that's where the principle of honoring your father and mother started. That's why I have to take you back there to the beginning, why, how it started. God says to honor. That's Exodus 20 verse 12. He said, honor who? Thy father and what? Thy mother. Exodus 20 verse 12. Very important. It's on the screen. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. It says, so that it will be well with you and you will live long. Please take note. What they said here is to honor. Many people confuse it to mean that you must obey your parents in all things. They said honor. Why I'm saying this is that all the commandments given here, thou shalt not steal. Whether you are 2 years old or you are 20 years old, stealing is bad. Whether you are 2 years old or you are 200 years old, stealing is bad. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. He said, thou shalt not kill. Whether you are 2 years old or 200 years old, killing is what? Bad. So when he said honor your parents, whether you are 2 years old or 200 years old, you ought to honor your parents. Regardless of your age, regardless of your status, you must honor your parents. The emphasis here is on honor. But the problem starts when people begin to misinterpret or misunderstand the word honor to turn it to mean that you must obey. The Bible did not say that. Let's move a bit again. If you go to Ephesians chapter 6, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Very important. You will honor your parents no matter your age, no matter your status in life. It's a commandment of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 1. He said, children, do what? Obey your parents where? In the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You have parents in the Lord and you have biological parents. It says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Look at verse 2. Takes us back again to what he said about your biological parents. He said, do what? Honor thy father and what? Thy mother. Which is the first commandment with what? A promise. That he may what? Be well with thee. And that thou mayest do what? Live long upon the earth. Look at verse 4. He said, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to what? To wrath. But bring them up in what? The nurture and what? Admonition of the Lord. In Colossians, might not read it, they'll probably put it on the screen. In Colossians, it actually says, obey your parents in all things. Let me explain how it works now. God never said that you, as a grown adult, you must obey your parents. Anywhere you see in scripture, like in Colossians, for instance, look at it, Colossians 3:20. It said, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. They are not talking about a 30-year-old man here. They are talking about a child. There's a difference between a child and a son. Praise the Lord. If you go to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, I'm just reading all the scriptures. When I finish reading them, I will start to talk. So just follow all the reading. It's important for what I will say. Proverbs 22 verse 6. Because in Africa, the problem is this. The parents read these things and they want the child to remain a child forever. They think God has given them power to control somebody. Proverbs 22 verse 6. It says, do what? Read with me. Do what? Train up a child in the way that what he should go. And when what? So there's a time he becomes old. Nigeria. There's a time to be old. There's a time to be old. That's what has happened. Many people have removed, they didn't read this part. They say, obey your parents. So you see a grown man of 30 years old saying he's obeying his parents. He's still wearing short knicker. Say he's obeying his parents. That's not what the Bible is saying, Nigeria. Come on, let's grow. He said, train up a child. That, look, my child is less than 2 years old. That's a child. When he's 5 years old, he's a child. When he's 10 years old, he's a child. He starts to train him. But they say, when he's old, I should leave him. That's why we have people running things in this country. You see somebody that says a youth president, he's 60 years old. He's still wearing short knicker. He's obeying his parents. He's still obeying his parents. 60 years old. Compare the age of people in government here to the age of people in government around the world. The same backwardness. The Bible said, train up a child in the way that he should go when he is old. You have to allow him to do the things you have taught him. You have to allow him to make his own decisions or make her own decisions. The reason why we don't create or develop here is because we are telling old men, somebody is 30 years old, his parents are telling him, you can't think. Wait, I'm the one that will tell you what to do. So he's 30, he's 35, he's still not thinking. He's 25, he's still not thinking. He's waiting for his father to still think for him. Hallelujah. So this is the ideal. This is what God is saying. This is what God is saying. Honoring your parents is a lifetime issue. It's like the other 10 commandments. There's no day to be okay to kill someone. There's no day to be okay to steal. That's the category honoring your parents come into. Even if you're 100 years old, God still expects you to honor your parents. You must honor your parents till you die or till they die. You must honor your parents. But God never said you must obey them till you die. Honor has to do with respect. Honor has to do with esteem. Honor has to do with reverence. So God is saying, till you die, these your parents that brought you to the world, honor them, respect them, talk to them nice, support them financially, especially at their old age, visit them, call them, love them, esteem them, value them. That one is a permanent decision or a permanent instruction. It will never change no matter your age. But when it comes to obeying your parents, God said this, train, that your parents' job is to train you till when you are old. I actually heard somebody teaching on this. And you know what he said? He said, he was quoting from Bible. He said, in Genesis, the Bible said, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. That you're not yet a man. You're not yet grown until you marry. That's stupid. You know why? Because there's some single people that are 60 years old. So you're telling me that because he's single at 50, he's not a man yet. Grown man, where don't they reach you? The hair now on his chest is now turning white. And you say he's not yet a man because he's not married? Marriage doesn't define us. Jesus was not married. Apostle Paul was not married. Marriage doesn't define us. You can see fulfilled destiny without being married. It's not everybody that we will marry. That's the honest truth. I know you want to marry. Don't worry. I didn't call your name. That's why I didn't call your name intentionally. Because somebody say, not be you I didn't talk to. You, I see that you, your eye, the bread serve you desperate. Not be you I didn't talk about. But you see, it's not everybody that will get married. So you can't tie maturity to marriage. No. Honor is permanent. You must honor your parents. But there's nowhere the Bible says you must obey them. In Colossians, when they said obey your parents in all things, they are not talking about a grown man like me that have children. They're talking about a grown man like me that have children. Then I should not obey my own parents. Let's even look at it realistically. Doctor is here now. One of our pastors is a doctor. I hope your dad is not a doctor. No, okay, your mom is not a doctor. Good. Imagine now his dad come and visit him in the hospital. He's attending to someone. He wants to give the person an injection. His father didn't read medicine. Father now say, no, don't give this one, give this other drug. Should he obey? God cannot be saying you should obey them in all things. No, it's not a grown man. He's talking to a child. When God says obey your parents, talking to a child, because a child most likely, and I'm using most likely now in Africa, most likely because a child most likely should might not know more than his parents. That's okay. He's under the covering of his parents. So I say obey. But the moment you start growing and become an adult, they give you a brain for a reason. Imagine you're a stockbroker. You want to buy certain shares. Your dad now come. He doesn't even know what shares are. But he said, don't buy this one, buy this one. Will you obey that? Of course you will not obey that. Or if your parents come and say, don't serve Jesus Christ again, serve our family shrine. Will you obey that? Of course not. God will never put you in bondage by his instructions. The Bible says his commandments are not grievous. There is no instruction of God that puts you in bondage. All the instructions of God, they actually liberate you. Praise God. All the instructions of God, they actually liberate you. They don't bind you. Hallelujah. Let me give you a story. When God called me to ministry, because I still spoke to someone today, one of my sons here in the church. He said, he told me that his mom said he should not come to church again. Praise God. And the first question I asked him is that, how old are you? God, sit down. First question I asked him was, how old are you? He says 26. I said, you're a grown man. He has even finished school. I said, you're a grown man. This was killing Africa. If you are telling that boy at 26 that he can't go to a church he wants to go to, he should go to your church. You have already told him he can never be a leader in this country, except when he's 80. You have told him he can't think. In some other countries at 26, some people have started politics. In some other countries by 26, some people are local government chairman. But here, at 26, he can't even choose a church. At 19, I started pastoring. I was already looking after other people at 19. At 26, you are telling him by that instruction that he's not responsible. You have already done something to his psyche. He's losing self-confidence. You have told him at 26, you can't make a decision. So he's already losing the God-ordained power inside him because you are telling him he can't think. When will Nigeria change? I'm tired of people that have ruled the country when we're babies. They're coming back again. Again. We studied those people in social studies. Social studies. Say, who is the president of Nigeria? We saw his name. Who is the governor? Is what his name? We are 30 years after. The guy still wants to be president. What's going on, Africa? What's going on? Where do young people start to think? Because Nigeria is still far from development, except we start to correct these small, small cultures that keep people in bondage. If you tell a boy or a girl who he should marry, You have removed all the power from him. You are going to have to tell him the school his children will go to. You are even going to have to tell him what soup to cook. You have made a nuisance of him. What age did them Bill Gates begin to break through? What age did them Steve Jobs begin to break through? These are the people we are competing with. What age did all these guys start their business? Richard Branson and Co. What age did they start? At 38, a Nigerian still doesn't know his left from his right. He's not sure where he's going in life at 38. When will you now start the journey? Abroad, by 13, 14, 15, most people already have an idea where they are inclined, what area they have gift in, what area they are interested. At 14, a boy is still rolling tire on the express road. No sense of direction. So I told that boy, you're 26, decide and stand your ground. A full-grown man, will they beat you? Stand your ground. Let's stop these things. If you're telling that boy he can't choose a church, which day will that boy now change his community? Can he ever have the confidence to do something that will change his own community? It can't happen. You have already told him he can't make decisions. When I was 19, God called me into ministry. God told me I was called to preach. Now, at that time, I was about entering university. I think my jam was out, blah, blah, blah. I already even had admission to UNILAG. I was supposed to enter university. But immediately God called me. I said, you know what? I want to go to Bible school. Instead of me going to school for 4 years, you know, and all that, I want to just go to Bible school and face what God has called me to do. You see, it's important to get direction at an early age. If you get direction when you're old, you're even too lazy to move. If you get direction at an early age, you can even begin to train your life along that line. Abroad, there's an age you become, you can't study medicine again. You say, you're too old. Where will you start from? Praise God. So, I said, okay, God, you know what? I won't go to this UNILAG again. I'll go to Bible school. So as I was praying then, I said, should I tell my parents? Because, you know, they were all preparing that I would go to UNILAG, go to school. I said, should I tell them? God said, yes. He said, tell them. God said, I told you my word to honor your parents. So go and tell them. So I went happily. I told them that I'm called to ministry. God has called me to preach the gospel of Jesus. I'm not going to UNILAG. I'm going to Bible school. Praise God. I was happy. I thought they would be happy for me. They said, never. You must go to the school we sent you. You can't go and preach anything. They were very angry. They didn't agree. So when I went back home, I said, Lord, they didn't agree. I was angry. God said, I didn't tell you they would agree. I said, honor them by telling them. I didn't say they must support what you are doing. And I was delivered. So I honored them by telling them, this is what I want to do. Thank you. You are my parents. I need to let you know my plans. But I don't have to do, because many parents are living through their children. Oh. There's some doctors today that they have no doctor in them. It's the father that said there must be a doctor in our family. Oh, listen. I've seen some children's lives that have been destroyed because their father said you must study law. Why? So that when we have land problem in our village, you will come and defend me in court. And the boy has been writing jam. He refused to pass jam. They've given him sociology. The father said no. They gave him English. The father said no. He said it must be law. He has stayed at home 10 years now reading to enter for law. Many parents are trying to live through their children. Everybody has their own life. Africans, naturally, we don't like responsibility. So most children even like the fact that their parents are the one thinking for them. So that it's not my concern. We don't like responsibility. Let my father decide what I become. It's your life, friends. You have only one of it. There will not be a duplicate. There will not be a rehearsal. There will not be a retrying. This is the only one that you will ever have. If you give it to somebody else, you are wasting your own life. Hallelujah. So your father said, you've obeyed them, move. And you know what? Many years down the line today, now that the work, the ministry work is showing some signs, today, that's it, my father. Anywhere we go together, even when the matter doesn't concern who I am, he will go and tell the people, did you see my son? He's a pastor. He's on television. Look at it. The person doesn't know me. The village, you tell it. That's my son. He's proud today now. Thank God I obeyed God. There are many people that have thrown away their destiny because they thought the Bible says you must obey your parents. That's children. Yes, 10 years old, 15 years. Yes, children. Say, but when he's old, socially old or maturity, they peg it socially and legally. They peg it around 18, from 18 to 21, legally and socially. 18 to 21. That's when they give you your own driver's license. Before that time, you don't have a driver's license. But even when they say things like drinking alcohol or smoking, whatever, they say 18 and above. Even some nightclub, they don't allow you to enter if you're not 18. I'm not saying you should go to nightclub. I'm not saying you should drink, please. I'm just trying to tell you that socially, they accept that you are mature from 18 to 21. Praise God. But in Africa, if somebody is even 20, he's still a baby. You know why? For me, growing old has to do with when you have discovered where God wants you to go. That's for me. That's what I think. You can follow socially or legally. That's okay. I'm just saying my own. I'm not saying you must follow this one. Because the reason why you need somebody to tell you what to do is because you don't even know what to do. That's why. It's a train up a child. For parents that are watching, your parents that are here, your job is not to make all the decisions of your child. Your job is to train them. The reason why you are training them is so that when they get old, you have already imbibed the right qualities in them. If you still have to think for your 20-year-old child, you are a failure as a parent. Train him, then you should be able to trust him. You should be able to trust the training you gave him. That's the sign you're a good parent. Not that at 25, you still want to tell him what to do. That means you didn't train him well. If you trained him well, you should trust his decision. He said, train a child. They didn't say shout at a child. They didn't say make a decision for him. They said, train him. That means when he's young, start training him. Start teaching him how to make decisions. Start teaching him how to be mature. Start teaching him how to be patient. If you do your job well as a parent, when he's old, you can't be controlling him again. Let's even use common sense. Let's use common sense. Let's use common sense. How many of you I mean, you know, you've seen basketball players before, Abi. You know they are very tall, Abi, from day one. Imagine if you give birth to a child, 1 year old, he mess up, you use your one finger and spank him, Then 3 years old, you use your full hand, boom, don't go there. 5 years old, you use slippers, bah, don't go there. 12 years old, you bring Greek cane, my friend, bah. By the time he's 15, it's likely that he's even taller than you. Say, Junior, come here. You say, yes, Dad. He's looking at you. Dad, what's it? And you're saying, Junior. Nobody go tell you, say, at that age, you're not supposed to flog him. Shouldn't be flogging him. He's a grown man. Like, I can even beat you for safety purposes. What does that tell you? That tells you that there's a stage when approach should do what? Should change. Can't be flogging somebody that is grown. He has big, his belly even big past your own. His beard is bigger than you, and you think flogging him. At that age, flogging him won't change anything. So there's time to change gear. There's time to change gear. Train up a child. They say when he's old, because at that time, you are no more the one teaching him or telling him what to do. When he's old, he will not depart from the values you have taught him. Praise the Lord. So, if they say obey your parents, they're talking about children, not grown man like me. Somebody wrote us a letter in our ministry for help, for assistance. I think she's a lady. She says she's an orphan. We say, how old are you? I think she was about 50 years old. That's how Africans think. You will not be orphan. 50 years, you are not an orphan. You see, in Nigeria, we misplace this thing. Orphan is referring to a child that is not able to take care of him or herself, and the parents are dead. That's an orphan. Nobody say me or somebody that is 60 years old. 60 years old? He said, I'm an orphan. No, you are an orphanage. I'm an orphan. How can you be orphan at that age? If you are orphan at that age, that means the bulk of the elders in this country are what? Orphans. Because of them, their father and mother have died. That's not what they mean, Africa. Come on. Let's grow. Say, I'm an orphan. No, you are not. You're not. It's not you they're calling. Say, I'm an orphan at 50 years old. Praise God. Train up a child the way that he should go. When he is old, there's a time. There's a time things change. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I spoke as a child. I said, but now when I'm mature, I speak as a man. I've changed my approach. There's a period of growth. Hallelujah. And in the first place, if you want to talk about marriage, it should be that you are mature. For you to be talking about marriage at all. If you are here and you are still saying, I can't marry someone except my mother agreed, then you should not even be marrying at all. You are a baby. Is this things going from generation to generation that make Africa not to grow? Because somebody wants to marry. If you say you want to marry, you know what that means? You are telling everybody that you are now responsible enough for your life that you want to take on the responsibility of another person's life. Is somebody catching this? Let me say it again. For you to come and say you want to marry, not that you are dating, as in you are ready to marry, it means that you are telling us that you are now so responsible that of yourself that you want to now take on the responsibility of another person. Then did that same you, your mother now say, no, I don't want this one. You now say, I can never marry someone my mother does not agree. Then you are a baby. Your mother is not the one that will choose who to marry for you. Hallelujah. If in Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians 6, that most people quote, it's obvious there. He said, children, they said, obey your parents in the Lord. Your parents in the Lord refer to your spiritual parents. Parents in the Lord. Why did they say you should obey your parents in the Lord? And by the way, if your parents in the Lord are telling you something that is not in the Bible, that is not scriptural, don't obey. But I'm just going to explain. Why did they say you obey your parents in the Lord? Why? Because somebody that's your parents in the Lord ought to know more than you spiritually. But the same thing doesn't apply to your natural parents. If they are not born again, they might not know more than you. In fact, there are some cases where you are somebody's child physically, but the person is also your child spiritually. I got born again before my mom. She's a minister or so, or a pastor or so in Redeemed today. But I got born again before her. I've been a pastor years before she even became born again and now became a minister. In the spirit, I'm a father in the Lord. In the Lord, I'm a father in the Lord. In naturally, she's my mother on the earth. Do you understand that? Praise God. So, let me run through quickly. You've seen somebody you want to marry. Your parents don't agree. What do you do? I'll run through the steps. I have a book actually on this, so you can get the book for more gist. I have a book titled I Love You, My Parents Say No. It's a small book. I think it's 300 naira or something like that. It's a small book. It's outside. So make sure you buy it. Buy it for a friend. It's cheap. Just buy and just read. But I'll run through some things. If you're here and you want to marry someone and your parents are saying no, my first challenge is that, are you mature first? Are you a baby or are you mature? Have you been showing signs of seriousness? Not that you are at home. You first of all, you still live at home. If you still live at home, negotiation already has K-leg. Because in their mind, they are feeding you. Do you understand this? Now, but if you live at home, maybe by you don't have a choice, you just live at home. Start taking responsibilities at home. Be paying some of the bills. Don't just come every day and say, what's in I cook? Start putting money down that I'm paying for the feeding this month. Drop 30K or whatever amount you need, drop it. NEPA bill comes, you drop it. They want to repair something in the house, you drop it. They say the freezer is not working well. You launch new freezer, pop, tear nylon. You will notice that the way they talk to you at home will start to what? Change. Before they say, come here. Now they say, please, can I see you? Glory. Praise God. You too begin to show signs of responsibility. Praise God. Maybe they still send you to go and buy bread at the junction. They send you all kind of errand. Get a house help and be paying the person. You are telling them, oh boy, levels are changing. Praise God. No, get someone. Pay for it. When the rent is due, say you want to pay half of it or contribute to it, respect will come. So tomorrow, if you say you want to marry, they would already talk to you as an adult. But you are treating yourself like a baby. You can't do it. You see where you're short nigga and you walk about like anything they bring, you eat. You even eat extra. And you don't bring a dime. They bring NEPA B, you come out your eye. There's no fuel in the jail, you go and sleep. It's off you to buy fuel. You're not showing any sign of maturity, man. They won't take you seriously. And in fact, if you have the opportunity of even moving out, if you're responsible, move out. negotiation will be different when you come and visit them and tell them. Not that you woke up in their house on their mattress and you say you want to marry. Is that what I'm talking about? You don't wash plate today, for you. Have you washed plate? Have you washed plate? Yesterday night, plate, you leave and sleep. And I've been warning you in this house. Don't do that. If you came to visit, because the Bible says familiarity brings contempt. The Bible says that when you visit someone for too long, after a while, can you show it, DJ? Can you find that scripture for me? That if you go to your neighbor's house every day, after a while, he will start despising you. The same thing applies when they see you anyhow. Like they say, see finish. How they say it? See finish, how they call something? No, that's the way they say it. I'm forgetting how they say it. DJ, can you find that scripture? That don't visit your neighbor too much. Where is it now? Praise God. So, begin to do things that at least show that you are a mature person. Look at this. Proverbs 25, verse 17. Can you look at the screen? Proverbs 25, 17. It says, withdraw thy food from where? Thy neighbor's house, lest he be what? Weary of thee, and do what? Hate thee. He got tired for you. Those of you that don't even live at home, it's not every day you should go and be collecting food from your mother's house. But it's like it will still be like you're sucking breast milk. There's some grown man, he's a manager where he works, so big stomach, like his big thigh. Every day he will go and collect soup or food from his mother's house. Every day. Then one day you're not going to tell your mother that you want to sack her from giving you soup, that you want to marry somebody that will be cooking soup for you. She won't agree. She will fight that woman because she likes you coming to see her every day to collect soup. The Bible said, therefore shall a man leave what? His father and his mother. Doesn't mean you shouldn't relate to your parents. I'm saying things that will not, that will make them still be seeing you as that boy that they were changing pampers for a few years ago. You to reorientate them. Because in the eyes of every parent, you are still a baby, no matter how old you are. It's you that will let them know. Your parents can never on their own know that you are grown. It's you that will let them know that you are grown. They can never know. You are still a baby in their eyes. So start behaving mature. Number two, if your parents are saying they don't want you to marry someone, ask why. The truth is that sometimes God can use the authority figures in your life to correct a wrong decision you want to make, like your parents or your pastors. So you need to ask why. If your parents are saying no, don't fight. First ask why. If they have a valid reason, sometimes they do. Maybe he's not a born-again Christian. Maybe he's not of good character. Maybe he's violent. Maybe he's fraudulent. They might have a good reason. If they have a good reason, then you have to deal with the issue. But if they're just telling you he's not from our tribe, those are the mentality that has destroyed this country. He's not from our tribe. One of the questions you need to ask your parents is that everybody that has married in our tribe, are all their marriages good? Some people have bad marriages from your tribe. It's not tribe that guarantees a good marriage. There are some mad people in your tribe. Go to the village in your tribe, you see a mad person there. In the market. So tribe does not guarantee a good marriage. Ask them why. I've heard all kinds of reasons. My dad is a king. Funny enough, almost all of us married from outside our village. So he said, I'm a king. One of you should marry inside, or at least marry some a close village so that we can have partnership with the village. I said, it's because you are thinking locally. We're marrying from under states so that we can run for presidency. Since we are talking politics, why must I marry for the next village to be a local champion? No, I'm marrying interstate. Abby? Since we are marrying for strength, we mustn't marry locally. We mustn't be local champion. The vision is global. So we're even marrying on intercountry. It is your vision that means if you want to bring it to power, you can talk politics. Only that the vision is bigger than this locally you're talking, this village to village you're talking. It's a bigger vision. We want to have countries so that you're not telling, so that even our grandchildren can have dual passport. You say, yes! Since he wants to talk politics, you talk to him at the level you understand. I'm not saying she married for passport now. I'm just saying that if he's drawing it politically, there are many grounds for marrying from under state. Praise God. Ask why. Number three, if they are still not changing their mind, talk to your spiritual parents. I don't know why anybody would want to go through this life without having spiritual parents. The same way you need your physical parents, you also need your spiritual parents. Life will be sweeter if you have spiritual parents. I have great spiritual parents. My pastor, he's not even based in Lagos. He's based in Ibadan. Some days ago or some weeks ago, some things were happening in church that was really getting to me. He told my wife, should he come? That he can come. He's a very busy man. But I'm his son. He said, we'll come down now to Lagos. My wife and I said, no, it's not important. We can handle it. He said, he can come now. You see, it doesn't make sense to go through life without your spiritual parents. You must have a pastor. Before you start a relationship, while you have started a relationship, carry your pastor along. Your pastor is one of the few people on the earth, if he's a good pastor, that can tell you the truth in love. He's not biased. I tell couples, whenever a couple is having an issue, don't drag your parents into it too quickly. Why? Your parents will be biased. They already have stake. They will support you. I've canceled couples. The wife went to tell her own parents. What will her parents do? Her parents support the wife. The husband went to tell his own parents. His parents support the husband. So it's now an international war. Do you understand? So now the two parents are fighting. Both of them are holding their own son, their own child. But you see, a pastor is a neutral person. Can tell you, will tell you what the Bible is saying. So you must carry your spiritual parents along. If your spiritual parents are involved, there was a time in our church where I was a bit younger then. One of my sons wanted to marry one lady. Two of them attend our church. But the guy is from somewhere in the southwest. What do you call it? South. The guy was from south. The girl was from the west, Yoruba. And of course, the girl's parents said, no, we don't want. I was too young. I felt if I had gone to meet the parents, they would look at me too young. So I called this my pastor. It's good to have a pastor now. I can tell you that categorically. So I called my pastor. He is from their tribe. He's Yoruba. So he's from their tribe. They already have something in common. Secondly, he's mature in age, more than me. So they will attend to him better. I called him. He showed up. He came to visit the girl's parents. He said, hi, my name is Reverend Femi Oduwole, and all that, Came visit them, sat down with them. And even after he left there, he kept calling them. When he got back to his base, he would call them. 1 week after, he would call them to greet them. He would travel abroad, he would call them from abroad to greet them. Before long, they agreed. But if you don't have spiritual parents, at times like that, who will you call? Nobody to give you sound counsel. Nobody to tell you what the Bible is saying. Praise the Lord. So talk to your spiritual parents. If your spiritual parents think you should not go ahead with the marriage at all, that's a good sign, because in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. So that means you shouldn't go ahead. But if your spiritual parents think it's a good decision to marry the person, he can now advise you and pray along with you on the next step to take. Praise God. Thirdly, or next point, I don't know what number I am in now. Thirdly, you can also get other people to talk to your parents. Your parents will have brothers, or you will have uncles that can talk to them. Uncles that maybe favor you. Or uncles that have married somebody from another tribe too. You go and tell them that, come and talk to your brother. There's issue. They can talk to them. Then lastly, pray and give it time. The Bible said the hearts of kings are in the hand of God. God can turn it to whichever way he wants. Take time to still pray. Give it some time. Don't be quick to fight. But stand your ground. I've seen people that have abandoned a good marriage because their father said or their mother said. For no reason. No good reason. It's because you are not grown. Grow your own knowledge in the word of God. You see, the reason why a lot of people do that is because they themselves are not confident. If you know the qualities to look out for in a wife, you can learn it. you should know if it's a good woman or not. The problem is that most people are not even mature. So when somebody tells them don't marry, they're not even wise enough to defend their case. Grow. Invest in materials. Buy books on marriage. Buy CDs on marriage. Attend meetings like this. So that you can defend. You can. The more confident you are, or the more knowledgeable you are, the more confident you will become. Give it time and pray. And lastly, somebody is saying, so if after I've prayed, they've talked, and they still don't agree, what do we do? As a last resort, after you have done all you can do, if they still don't agree, you are free to marry. Let your spiritual parents approve for you to marry. There are many families that after they marry, the father will now cool down. Especially when he sees his grandchildren. So I'm not talking to people, but I'm talking to my grandchild. It's your life, guys. You can't put the blame of your life on somebody else. It's an African thing. We're always blaming somebody. After you have done all for peace, if they will not agree, the Bible never said that your parents must attend your wedding. There's no way it says that. The Bible never said they must agree to who you marry. All this is just because people don't want to take responsibility. I'm not saying you should rebel or elope. Is it elope they call it now? Elope or run away. But what I'm saying is that if you have done all to stand. For instance, I've shared this story many times. I went to preach in Dubai, UAE, Dubai. And there was a couple I canceled there. The guy is a Christian from Kenya or something. The lady is from Iran. Why are you laughing? I don't know why you're laughing though. I didn't say anything. I said she's from Iran. But she was a Christian. And you know that Iranians are not Christians, but she became a Christian. And she wanted to marry another Christian. They told her, if you try it in Iran, they will kill you. They will kill your husband. They will even kill your parents. So even her parents could not even attend. They could not publicly identify with the marriage. Even though secretly they say, marry who you want. But publicly, we don't know you. For the safety of everybody. So there are cases where your parents might not agree. It's not the Bible never said it. There's no way in the Bible say your father must be there. Or your mother must agree. Honor them by telling them. Honor them by seeking their consent. In a case where, there are even cases where somebody is from another religion, the person has changed religion, the parents have already disowned him before they talk about marriage. You don't want to go and tell that same parent to come and attend the wedding. He will come now. He has not disowned you before. The Bible says if you love father and mother more than me, you are not worthy of this kingdom. I'm not saying you should not get your parental consent. Do all you can. Do all you can to get parental consent. Don't even give up. Don't give up too easily. But if it's as far as this Bible is concerned, I've not seen where it says your parents must agree because there are times they will not agree. And the truth is that I've been a pastor for some years now. I've seen parents just give their children trouble for nothing. For nothing. They'll just fight. I've seen weddings delayed for 3 years, 4 years because they are waiting for the mother to agree. Now marry and still be telling her. So that at least your life will be moving forward. In Africa, we are used to being delayed. So he's saying 3 years. You're waiting. 3 years. 4 years. Waiting for one person to agree. Marry first. I'll be talking to her. Relax now. We have married though. Don't be angry. Your children are coming to you. Hallelujah. If you're a parent, I know many parents will be angry with me today, but it's the Bible I'm talking about. If you're a parent, what should you do? In case your child brings somebody she wants to marry that you don't like. Number one, I'll start saying, before they reach marriageable age, develop a relationship with your children. Many parents are too busy today to spend time with their children and they want to come at the last minute and decide for them. No, develop a relationship on time. When that child is already old, he might not need your relationship again. From when they are young, create time to spend with them. Be open to them, talk to them. Become friends with your children. As they are growing, people shift from being your son to being your friend. Praise God. the game changes. From when they are a baby, when they start growing, they become your friend. You should be talking more with them, sharing ideas with them. Praise God. If you notice in the Bible, there was a time Moses canceled God. God said, I want to kill all these people. Moses said, God, I don't think it's a good idea. God said, why? God said, Moses told him, you know, God, you are the one that brought this people out of Egypt. You're not going to bring them here and kill them. People will just be looking at saying, you are a very wicked God. God said, it's true. You see, Moses had grown in talking to God. So he got to a stage where him and God could. God said, come, let's reason together. That same thing parents don't understand. Left to parents, they want to keep commanding you. Even God gave us free will. Oh. That's the Almighty God that even created you and your parents. Oh. He gave you free will. He said, I will advise you if you want. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge me. I will direct your steps. But it's not by force. But parents want to make it by force. There's a time when you and your child should be talking, should be hearing his own ideas. He might be right. That you are older doesn't mean you're always smarter. So develop a relationship with your child. Number two, when they bring somebody you don't approve, you need to ask yourself sincerely, why don't you approve? Sometimes the reason why parents are fighting the wedding is because they're not ready to let their child go. They say, so she could just marry. And the man even they leave for Nigeria. Or you need to leave for Lagos. So just marry, go on that state. Or go on that part of town. No, we don't agree. She's not ready for marriage. Because they don't want to lose you. You need to ask yourself as a parent, are you sincere? Why don't you want them to marry? Tribe is not a strong enough reason. There are bad people and good people from every tribe. Number three, if you don't agree with who your spouse, your child wants to marry, talk to your child. Don't fight. Explain yourself. The more you fight the person, you will push the person into marrying the person by force. People are like that. People like to do opposite of what you are telling them sometimes. If you are fighting them not to marry, they will not be loving themselves more. Sometimes if you leave them, they can now begin to see what you are saying. That two of you are not compatible, they will see it. But if you fight, they have a tendency to hold them because they are now both fighting you, so they are partners. They will not get closer. So talk to them. Then lastly, as a parent, pray. Pray for them. Pray for them. Many things that we try to do physically, God can do it faster and easier if we learn to trust Him and pray. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have you been blessed tonight?
We know you've been blessed by this message. For more informational counseling, please call us on 01-8181-782, 080-2835-6363, or email us at davidschristiancenter1@yahoo.com, or visit our website at www.davidschristianchurch.org. God bless you.